Hey folks, Vince here with Just Tony tonight. Don't laugh and ruin it already, Tony. Say hello, Tony.
Hello. That was my Dan impression, because Dan's not here.
Yes, unfortunately Dan can't be here.
I know.
Which is quite fitting, because he couldn't be at Thought Bubble either.
I know, I fucking miss him.
Yeah, I know. All right, what's wrong with me?
All right, leave it.
All right. Yeah. It's our pleasure to welcome you to a very special episode of the Awesome Comics Podcast.
Fair.
It's the first ever Thought Bubble Festival special.
Hey.
Yay.
There's going to be more of these, probably not, let's face it.
After this one. now, Thought Bubble took place on the 14th and 15th of November at the Leeds...
Their Wikipedia page.
No, I've written it all down, Tony. Some of us are prepared. Everyone listening to this think, oh, it's just a usual episode then.
Yeah,
Thought Bubble took place on the 14th and 15th of November at the Leeds Royal Armouries Museum around that area. And over the past few years, it's grown to become the big show of the year in terms of like small press comics. I mean, I the first time I went was last year. So, I mean, how many times have you been, Tony?
I think this was my fourth or fifth year, I think.
So you've seen it get bigger and bigger every...
Yeah, it doesn't go down if you watch it, though.
How do you mean? What does that mean? What does that mean?
That's a carry-on joke.
Oh, dear. Anyway, a great weekend was had. I was there with the red mask and joined by my con bro, Sean
Doby.
The comic,
not the actual physical mask.
Yeah, no, it was just my comics, not any sort of alien beast strapped to my face.
Like Dan's picture on Facebook today.
Which one?
The one of him in a mask.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking brilliant.
I know. I'm never taking a train near where he lives.
If you don't go for a poo, Dan. Stay there. I know what you're going to come out as.
Oh dear. Anyway, I thought about what I was there with the red mask, and I was joined by my con bro Sean Doby, who had his book Descending Outlands with him.
I find him frightening.
Tony's got a story about him that you'll hear later. Tony popped along as a sexy punter in a rare appearance. Oh dear, the worst booth babe you could possibly imagine.
What do you mean, fucking worst? Well, I can think of a couple people worse.
Well, or you could say he was cosplaying as me, because we were dressed exactly the same.
Yeah, but you were the vampire version.
just because one of my collars was up most of the day and I didn't realise it. It was a rare appearance out of your man cave, wasn't it?
How was that? Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
But like we said, Dan unfortunately couldn't be with us over the weekend. He was properly missed, and pretty much everyone who talked to us was asking after him.
They were.
So I don't know what that says about us, Tony.
Yeah, it's a lot. He's under the cosh, isn't he, today? He's just messaged us. We were hoping he's going to be on tonight, weren't we? But he's got some mad amount of work coming that he's working through the night on. Not in the mask, hopefully, because I don't think you can see out of it properly.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if the bank job does go well, we probably won't hear from him anyway. So...
Well, if he robbed my bank, I'd just give him the money. As soon as he walked in the door with a sort of grimace on his face,
you go up, guns.
Yeah, he wouldn't. He couldn't get away with it. He's too famous.
That's true. He is now. Well, infamous. there was a huge amount of comic talent all huddled in the one room, and so it would have been criminal not to try and talk to some of them. Loyal listeners will have heard the ridiculous times we've tried this before.
This is only getting worse. I would say I don't think this. I think we may be the worst interview show ever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think people.
Pretty bad.
I think people like listening to us because it's like those outtake shows that people love watching.
We don't actually have the actual content to have the outtakes from.
Yeah. But I actually think we did it right this time, and I think that was no doubt due to our special guest interviewer.
Oh yes.
So let's take this opportunity to officially announce properly the newest member of the Awesome Pod family, Emily Owen.
Yes.
She's a writer and co-creator of Pup and Grumpercorn, one of my fave strips of the year. She's one of the Cardiff Comics making firm, as you've named them, Tony.
Yeah.
And she's been a big supporter of this show from day one. So when Dan and I needed someone to look after our very own problem child, while I was manning my table over the weekend, she stepped up like a proper trooper and helped us out.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Emily. You're an absolute legend.
She messaged me today and said I have a beaver face. I don't know.
As you can see, folks, she fits into the collective quite well. we've got some shout outs to the awesome people we met, caught up with, and generally had a good time with over the weekend. But we'll get to that after you've enjoyed this batch of interviews and audio clips.
No doubt. Apologise in advance.
We talked to some great people.
Yeah.
And I don't think we make that much of a tit of ourselves, do we?
We do a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I like that. I kind of like the fact that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you people will as well. So here we go. Here are the audio clips. So unleash the hounds! Right, so here we are, the Thought Bubble Special. Could you believe it? Tony's already laughing.
When you're professional.
Why? Someone has to be. Someone has to be.
It makes it more fun making you laugh.
See, you can hear another voice, and that's our designated third wheel, the gooseberry. Emily Owen, hello.
Hello everyone, and shut up, Tony.
As you can see, she's going to fit in really well. She's also going to be wandering around with Tony and getting lots of brilliant interviews with people. And she's the sensible one, aren't you?
Really?
Well, you have to be this time, because you're babysitting.
That's right, yeah.
And also, this is Matt Harrow, addressed as the Scarlet Witch. Fucking come back.
Your leather trousers are squeaking.
Yeah, yeah. So as you can tell, this is going to be chaos. So enjoy, people, enjoy.
Okay, I'm here with Tilly Walden from I Love This Pot. Tilly, just wondered how it came about, how the book came about.
Yeah, it's sort of two different things. I've been drawing these sort of oversized teenagers in cityscapes and landscapes for a long time, and I never really knew why. And I sort of realized I wanted to figure out why I was doing that and find a story in it. So I took that sort of idea and combined it with my memory of a relationship I had in middle school with a girl. And it was one of my first relationships. It was all very huge for me, very, you know, earth-shattering. And so I sort of tried to merge those two ideas of, you know, a memory, a relationship, and with this this strange scale thing going on. And I think I found a way to make it work, and I think it made the idea stronger because it wasn't just telling a story about two girls. It had this this layer of space to it. Because of the way their size changes with how they feel.
Yeah, very definitely. Yeah. Why did you choose the one page panel?
You know, I think it was because after I did The End of Summer, which, you know, was my first book, and I worked 11 by 14 with 4 tiers, I think I just thought it would be healthier for me to take a break by just focusing really on the story and letting each page just have its own moment and speak for itself. It simplified things, and it really made finding the flow of the story a lot more interesting in a way, because it was just, I had to really boil it down because I couldn't put 3 moments on one page, I could only put one. And I think it really suited this story because a lot of the drawings are very illustrative, and it was really nice to have the space to do that. And there's also a lot of white space in this book, a lot of just emptiness, skies. I love drawing clouds, and it really gave me the room to just kind of stretch out and do it.
Yeah, I did wonder about the autobiographical thing.
Yes.
Although I didn't think you were a giant in middle school.
I wasn't, unfortunately. That would have been pretty cool. But yeah, there's definitely an autobiographical element.
Are you allowed to talk about the next thing you've got coming out?
Well, so I don't know. I'm sitting next to my editor and kind of looking at it. So he's just kind of nodding. I'm sort of working on 2 things right now. I'm going to work on another book for Avery Hill. Just know that I'll keep doing books for Avery Hill until I'm old. That I believe will take place in space and involve some spaceships. But then I'm working right now on a graphic novel about my time as a competitive figure skater growing up. And that is actually auto.
Is that true?
Yeah, I was a competitive.
Because I was one as well.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah? Yeah, yeah? Yeah, I was a competitive figure skater for 12 years.
Wow.
And so I'm making sort of a giant graphic novel about that. And I've done about 50 pages.
That's interesting.
And I'm putting bits and pieces of it online. So you can go to my Twitter and see some of the pages.
Full of surprises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a mystery.
Yeah. And I'm Chad Michael Michaels.
Oh my God. You did not just make that reference. Oh God.
Thanks, Tilly. Cheers, mate.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm here with PJ Montgomery. Hi, PJ.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. So tell me about what you're working on at the moment.
Well, here on the table today, we have the first 3 issues of Stiffs, which is the horror comedy comic set in the South Wales Valleys, featuring a bunch of 20-somethings all stuck in dead-end jobs that hunt zombies in their spare time, and one of them is a talking monkey.
Talking monkeys are always amazing.
Everyone loves a talking monkey. His name is Kenny. Full name is Kenneth W. McMonkey. He likes to drink. He likes to smoke. And he's vulgar. And he is so much fun to write.
Sounds like he's based on me, to be honest. So what have you got coming up now?
Next up is Trolltooth Wars, based on the fighting fantasy novel by Steve Jackson. currently being drawn by Stiff's artist Gavin Mitchell, a successful Kickstarter to raise the funds to do that, and yeah, we're hoping to release that in the spring next year. It's going well, I think. The art is looking fantastic. It's just a case of making sure it's all meeting the requirements of the brand. But yeah, it's going well, and yeah.
What other projects have you been working on?
I wrote a short story for Pride Adventures issue 2, which is over there. I'm pointing to the right. I've realised we're in an audio medium, not a visual one. and I've written a short film that's being edited at the moment by the guys at Burnt Papyrus, a film company based in Gloucestershire as well. Who knows after that?
Who's Gavin Mitchell?
Sorry?
Who's Gavin Mitchell?
Some bloke, I don't know. He's a hack.
I hate him.
He's a hack artist.
Yeah, no one thinks much of his work.
He charges too much as well.
Thanks, PJ.
Right, I'm sat at the Red Mouse table, currently enjoying the sights and sounds of Thought Bubble. My table buddy is a former guest and friend of the show, and like, he's known me for far too long. It's Sean Doby, a.k.a. Dobes. How you doing, mate?
What are you on?
You're here all weekend with me.
Oh, God, I am, aren't I?
Please.
Sharing a room as well. Well, that's horrific.
Yeah. I've currently taken this off Tony. He's still hovering about trying to put us off.
What?
He's there. You won't believe what he's dressed like today. Unbelievable.
It's the leotard.
Yeah.
Why have you got your collar turned up? You're like a fucking vampire.
Oh, my collar's turned up. Anyway, don't ruin this, Tony.
Too late.
So you're here with your book, Descending Outlands, as well as your colour stuff. Tell us a little bit about Descending Outlands. Pitch it to us.
Well, people already know if they watch the show, but basically it's thieves in space. So a group of thugs kind of get together, make a heist, goes a little bit pear-shaped, and then have to retreat to the outer planets to kind of recoup. That's kind of it in a nutshell. Also selling some prints today as well and some cool little posters.
How are you finding Thought Bubble?
Really good. I like being here. Last year we were in the teepee, the little tent.
We were. That was a unique experience.
Yeah, now we're in the kind of main gubbins of it all, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we keep talking to people, don't we?
Yeah, some great people. Good cosplayers as well.
Oh, you like talking to people?
Occasionally talking to people.
They don't answer.
I chase after them, talking to them. Talk to me, talk to me.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for talking to us, and I'll speak to you later.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I'm here with Mike Medaglia, who's just released One Year Wiser. When did that come? A couple of months ago?
Yeah, early September.
Okay. Do you want to just tell people about it, Mike?
Yeah, so it's a one-a-day book. There's 365 quotes that I've adapted into like illustrations and comics, with the idea of sort of bringing the quotes to life and giving them a bit of extra meaning.
And you've done a coloring book?
Yes, we did the One Year Wiser coloring book edition, which is like really cool. People are like, I mean, there's one for every week of the year, so 52 pages, but it's so cool to see how people color them in. Like, I think they're getting so popular, coloring books, that people are a bit hesitant about them. But as I've seen people work on them, I have no doubt that it's a creative endeavor and people are really using this to be creative and find their own form of creativity. You know, it's not just like a pastime. It's like,
yeah, I think there's a bit of cynicism about them, but when you put it like that, I'll definitely see it. Yeah,
and it's great. It's like, if I as an artist can help anybody else find their own sort of creativity, it's like, that's brilliant, bring it, you know. Yeah. It's like, so yeah.
I saw them, they were for sale in the bookshop on the South Bank. I think I sent a picture to you, didn't I?
Yeah, Foils has been really supportive, yeah. Which is really nice. Yeah. I think because there's a whole range of coloring books, but hopefully this is slightly different because it's quotes and that sort of thing. And it has more of like a spiritual, like a clear spiritual sort of edge to it.
And everyone goes to their birthday, don't they? I think that was,
yeah,
I did
that's
that,
my
yeah.
favorite bit of One Year Wiser. That's like my favorite bit to do, yeah. Look up your birthday, yeah.
And you didn't go with any Bukowski, I saw that.
No, in the end... I should have done. You gave me some. Did you see I did you gave me a quote from Samuel Beckett. It's in there.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So,
let's have a look at that.
Yeah, I mean, don't ask for any royalties or anything, but
just a
firm handshake and a thank you.
No, I love it, mate. Really, really nice. So as I understand, you've got a sci-fi book coming out next. Is that the next thing?
So hopefully, that's sort of ticking away, but I'm doing a few things. I'm at the point now where I'm... like a few projects are about to launch and it's a matter of which one I can do or like which one becomes the most pressing. So I'm just about to start a webcomic for Elephant Journal. They're like a mind, body, spirit like website. And that's really cool because the readers are like, they sort of get what I'm doing. Even though they don't read much comics, the spiritual side, I think, and you know, mind, body, spirit side. And then I'm putting a pitch together for a few other books. So I think early next year I'll have more of a sense of like what I am doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, yeah, which project I can go forward with, which is like not a bad place to be in. Like, it's fun, you know.
Mine very simple. You sent me a Superman print. Do you remember?
Yeah.
That is now on my son's university wall.
No, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
really,
man.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
I should do some, you know, stop getting drunk and go study posters.
Yeah,
I think those would sell really well.
Yeah.
How's he doing? Good?
So, oh, he's good. Yeah, he's good, mate. Yeah, cheers. Yeah. Good, and he sent me a lovely Batman as well. Really cool. Right, thanks, mate.
No, thanks.
I'm here at the Punch Face table with Ned Hartley. Hello, Ned.
Hello, very nice to see you here.
You know I love Punch Face. It's probably my favourite comic. Tell me and everybody else a little bit about it.
Well, it's a very tricky concept, Emily. It's Punch Face is a superhero who punches people in the face. I'm not really sure that everyone's going to get quite such a difficult concept, but at the same time, people seem to enjoy it, and people seem to understand what's going on.
It is a tricky one to get your head round. So you've got three issues out now.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about how it works.
Sure. Every issue of Punch Face gets relaunched the new issue number one. So we have Punch Face issue one, the Inexcusable Punch Face, which is also issue one, and the Uncomfortable Punch Face, which
that's
is also issue one.
Shameless.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's a shameless marketing grab to try and get more money. I don't deny that for a second. And the thing that I really like about it is that every issue of Punch Face has lots of different artists and writers that contribute to it. And the most recent issue, The Uncomfortable Punch Face, has a story by Emily here herself.
It's terrible. It's the worst thing in there.
Not only is it fantastic, but it tells the secret origin of Punch Face, something that you will not be able to find out unless you come and buy a copy.
And that's in issue three, issue one of Punch Face, which is the Uncomfortable Punch Face.
I've made this too complicated, haven't I?
Well, no, it's great. You know, it's my best thing ever. And so what else have you got going on?
Sure. The other comics that I bring with us, there's this one here is called How to Be a Superhero.
I think I might also have been a bit involved in that one.
Oh, here we go.
Emily, you are shameless.
Yes.
So this is it's our crime story, and it's about an ex-con who pretends to be an ex-superhero so he can teach people how to be a superhero as kind of like a self-help seminar. And then through a snowballing series of events, he ends up getting in trouble with supervillains and superheroes and kind of getting him way out of his depth.
And that's one that you've written and Gavin Mitchell illustrated.
Exactly, and yeah, exactly.
And some hack called Emily Owen helped with some of the colouring.
Which is some of the best parts of it.
When you make a comic called Punch Face, I can't think of anyone better than Emily to be involved, to be fair.
Couldn't True. Possibly comment.
Thanks, Ned. And good luck with the rest of the con.
Thank you very much indeed. It's very nice to see you.
Love to. Okay. I'm here with the editor of Torso Bear, Volume 2. You want to tell us a bit about it, dude?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been nearly a year to get what is 160 pages of toy-related crime, corruption, imprisonment. But, you know, with Transformers and kind of Stretch Armstrong characters and stuff, it's got that difficult second album tone to it throughout the project. But we feel we've improved it in every which way possible, not only with writers like Cy Deathan and people in there, but really awesome guys like Renzo Rodriguez, I think, is doing some stuff at Action Lab at the moment, and he stepped in at the last minute as a replacement artist, number three on Glenn Moan's story by this point, and he knocked out 8 pages of the most stunning, crisp digital inks in about 7 days. You know, it's even more than one page a day of just really detailed work. It's been an incredible roller coaster of a ride, but it's been damn good fun. Damn good.
I should have said your name, Brett Urin. I forgot to say that when we started. But yeah. Brett, we talked a bit about this on Down the Tubes, didn't we? Because was it a second attempt at a Kickstarter, basically? Do you want to explain that? So was it a second Kickstarter successful? Yeah.
The first Kickstarter was maybe a little bit of a misjudgment on my part. Partially over the level we could achieve now that the Kickstarter landscape has shifted somewhat. Now that you've got guys like Archie doing books on there, it's in a very competitive market. The FUBAR guys used to do really well, I think because it was very fresh ground, and now everyone's kind of like come into it. It's a much heavier battle to make headway. We wanted to get more money purely to pay creators, as we've mentioned in conversations before, and it didn't quite hit that grab. So we'd come up with another deal for them, came back with a much lower total to get and just, like, you know, breezed it the second time through. But I've noticed there's a good few books at the moment where I've been talking to people and people are kind of doing that, having to, you know, run one campaign, reassess, and then come and bounce back.
It's interesting, isn't it? It shows what people, or the amount, not what people will pay, but the amount of people who will pay almost, is it, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think on all sides, you want to pay people more. You want to get more people on board to pay, obviously. But you're always fighting for an increasingly smaller share, not only of people's money on Kickstarter, but people's time. It seems that comics guys, creators, are doing an awful lot more in order to try and kind of not beat back the market so much as you know, distribute themselves more widely to get noticed. And for people like Rob Cronenberg's or Mark Bertolini in the States, that certainly seems to have worked. You know, they've done work for an awful lot of indie publishers, and that's starting to get them picked up elsewhere. You know,
no, really interesting, mate. Yeah, and as you know, I really loved it. I thought it's a great idea, really, really well done. And I'm, you know, it's really nice you're out there doing that. And I think the benefit you had is you made the effort to pay the creators. That's what people don't understand. I think often people will see it at first volume was at a certain price, second volume was higher. But what you, in fact, were trying to do is offer a good deal to a creator. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think once you start, and it happens an awful lot that, you know, people are always getting asked. I was just talking to Giles Crawford, actually. Right. He was at the table. And he was saying he quit Facebook, and his most treasured thought, and it's something that warmed him thinking about it, so although he doesn't get to talk to people, he no longer gets inundated with messages asking him to do stuff for free. And this is kind of the point. It's almost expected that if you draw comics, you can almost be put upon in that way. And that's not right. I think it denigrates the whole profession of it. People put an awful lot of their time, and limited time really, because you only get a certain window of your life to be able to get to do comics before kids or day job or whatever. And if you don't pay people for that the pressure, I don't think you get as high quality, or you bring the whole realm of indie comics into that area of amateurism. And it's not amateur by any stretch of the imagination.
I think small press has improved leaps and bounds just in the last 5 years. Quality, I think it's due to the community, partly due to the printing costs and style and the ease of getting stuff done. But I have to say, I think the work's really, really leaped up.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But yeah, I mean, guys like, you know, a big Punch Studios just down the line there, a lot of people are taking this as a very serious business now, and you can just about eke out a living doing it. I think there's never been a better time to be involved with indie comics. Everything's right at your fingertips. It's like music. You can set up your album, you can get it on a page and do it yourself. You don't need the big guys. Yeah. You don't need the big things.
Nice one. Thanks, Brett. Nice one, mate. Cheers. I'm here with Chris Travell from Redshift Press. Chris, you disappeared off the podcast. What happened, mate?
Well, I lost my signal. I do exist. I do exist, but I didn't exist then. Well, it existed temporarily. I'm back. I'll be back. I'm willing to do further discussions. Fantastic. Yeah, it'd be really good. Yeah.
What have you got new out? This is a thought bubble. So, what have you got new out today?
It's Whispering Sands. So it's a ghost story, basically set around the tsunami of 2004, and it's a kind of a story about hope as well. So there's a positive message in there as well. So it's and illustrated by the wonderful Freya.
Yeah, I was going to lead on to that. So Freya, how did you meet Chris? Was it mostly online?
Yeah, Chris Travell is my old art teacher.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, so I met him through school and he gave me the opportunity of working at Redshift Press.
So this is the second thing you've done for them. You did part of Dark Matter, is that right?
Yeah, I did a couple of stories for Dark Matter. The Departure and The Caretaker. So now this is my second story for them, Whispering Sands.
Cool. Well, what have you got coming up?
I'm currently going to be collaborating with a guy with a sci-fi story, so that should be interesting.
Well, can you explain a bit more, or when it's coming out or anything?
We're sort of just going to be discussing today some ideas, maybe talking about androids, robots. So we haven't got much yet, but yeah. Should be soon.
Oh, cool. Nice. Also here is the other Chris. I'm not going to speak to him.
Right. Here we are with Leah Moore, as we all know, from Electric Comics and various other writing duties and stuff. How's your thought bubble going?
It's going very well, actually. We've had a fair few people stopping by. We've spoken to some people interested in making their own comics and asking us about that. It's been really good.
So your day's essentially been ruined when we turned up.
Yeah, to be honest, this is kind of a low point. I've just been to Pizza Express and this doesn't really compare, to be honest.
Electric Comics, you were talking about you want to get more people involved in it. What? Tell us a bit more about what you want.
Well, basically, we've got our Electric Comics generator, which is the tool that you can download and make your own comics, and you just put your artwork into it. You can layer it up, and it makes an Electric Comics format file. So we are hoping to do a challenge for Halloween to get people involved, and we had some cracking entries in that competition. And then I'm going to do another one, and I'm trying to think desperately of a theme for it, and everyone keeps saying Christmas, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to wade through 20 or 30 Christmassy Electric Comics. I don't know if I could cope with that. So maybe
Tony, what sort of theme should she have?
Sexy themes.
There you go.
Sexy themes.
Yep.
I don't know if I want to wade through 20
buses
or slippers. Buses.
Hang on. I can see this conversation going in a direction I do not want it to go. So where can people find out more about this then?
They can find out more about it on electricomics.net, which has got links to the generator and all the code and the comics and everything. So if you've got a comic project sitting languishing on your hard drive and you want to make people see it, then go and get the generator and tweet it at me, and I will tweet it everywhere, like Billy O, and you might even win something.
And where are you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I'm just at Leah Moore. LEAHMOORE.
There you go. Check it out, people. Thank you very much, Leah.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm here with Joe Glass, who is selling a whole bunch of comics today. Tell me about what you've got, Joe.
Well, I'm selling basically The Pride, which is my team of LGBTQ superheroes fighting for diversity and representation, but also like positive superhero stories, so they're not all grim, dark and angry all the time. These are people who enjoy being who they are. So I'm selling basically that series, which is actually got the final issue out here at Thought Bubble, launched brand new for the event. So actually coming to the culmination of something I've been working on for years now. And then we've also got Pride Adventures, which is an anthology satellite series, which contains short self-contained stories, which expand on the characters and world a little bit more. And again, we've also got the final issue of that, again, just launching this weekend right here at Thought Bubble.
And the Pride's on Comixology as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, the two final issues, Pride Adventures 3 and Pride Issue 6, both launch on Comixology on Wednesday. And they're all 1 to 5, and Pride Adventures 1 to 2 are also on Comixology 2, as are Stiffs 1 to 3.
And were you top 25?
Yeah, actually Pride Issue 1, it was like kind of this time last year, I think maybe early January actually, maybe, we were listed as one of the top 25 best-selling Comixology submit books of 2014. So maybe we'll be on it again next year, you know?
Fingers crossed, there's a few issues that could be on there. And so what's your next step now?
Up in the air. I've got a lot of people really keen to get for me to get the next volume out. I'm keen to do the next volume as well. So I may essentially go back into the Pride after a little short break, and probably do a trade collection for this first volume of stories as well. I may try something else because, like I said, I've got some other ideas. I'd love to get other books out there for people to see and see the other kind of things which rattle around my brain. But I love the characters of the Pride so much. It's hard to stay away.
Thanks, Charlie. That's great. Brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, I'm here with the Maddie. Shut up. I'm here with the Maddiest guys to do it. Just see. Is this your first time here, dude?
It's
is it?
Our first Thought Bubble and only okay. Our second ever convention.
Okay, so how did Nottingham go for you in the end?
It went really well, actually. Paper Cuts and Ink Stains went down really well. We sold loads of Ramlock. Nottingham really enjoyed kids' comics, apparently.
It was very kid-friendly, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
A lot of families there, wasn't there?
Definitely a lot of families, yeah. You know, so that was fantastic. Yeah, and it went really well. We got some really positive feedback, you know, and it's kind of put us in good stead. We feel like, though, we have upped our game a little bit, perhaps, for Thought Bubble, because we had, like, horrible little wooden things that stood stuff up on, and Jesus Christ, they were horrendous.
It's
you know,
a learning curve.
It is a learning curve, you know. I mean, like I say, it is only our second ever convention,
yeah.
You know, and to kind of sit there and learn from, perhaps, mistakes and stuff like that, and see how to further ourselves, you know. I think it's really good.
Mate, really pleased here. It's going really well, yeah. Yeah, you probably took a hold of it, haven't you? Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is it, yeah. You know, I mean, in fact, it... I mean, we're loud anyway. We're loud and gobby, you know what I mean?
No,
no, really. You know, but I think that works in our favour sometimes, you know. And we're, I mean, we're pushing all sorts of stuff. It's handy, you know. Awesome Comics Podcast guys are here with Dan Butcher's...
Dan's not here. Guns isn't here.
No, I'm a bit gutted, but I mean, like, we've got his cover on Paper Cuts 1, and he's also got a story in Paper Cuts 3B. Because we're buggering with you numerically, you know.
Variant cover shit.
No, not variant covers, different stories. It was meant to be one huge comic book, unfortunately, and it just didn't happen, you know. But we didn't want anybody to wait, so we thought, let's have them both at the same time, you know. So it's awesome, you know. It's fantastic to see.
I'm going to take my life in my hands and speak to the weirdo at the end now.
Okay.
Nicholas Gonzo. That's not your real last name, is it?
It's actually my real last name.
So what have you got here, Nick? You've got two new books out, haven't you?
Two new books today. We've got Funk Soul Samurai, which is a comic book series about a samurai fighting zombies with the ultimate goal of getting a milkshake in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. And 50 Signal 2, which is taking the adventures of the unnamed space guy from 50 Signal 1 and then getting weirder and slightly more sinister and slightly more cute.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it really steps it up. And I love the cover, mate. Really nice.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, if anyone ever comes up to me and names all the astronauts on the front cover, I will give them a free copy.
Yeah, not. Who's the guitar playing one?
That's Chris Hadfield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you got a pin-up by someone in Funk Soul Samurai, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's something of a ginger bloke with a beard. Yeah, we've got in Funk Soul Samurai... We totally aimed to have two extra pages left over we weren't going to be using, so we thought we would put four prints in there. So we've got like the PXD, we've got Matthew Brown, we've got Dark Thirds from Hong Kong, and we got the one and only Vinnie Vince, the Vince Hunt.
Not rhyming slang.
No, he's a very pleasant bloke. Look, I got his name right. One day he'll get my name right.
Nice one, mate. Thanks for that.
No, thank you very much. It's nice knowing you look like Steven Seagal in real life.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I do, don't I? Yeah.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, you.
The creepy little weird Mike Harley. The worst man in comics. I won't say what I usually call him. Mike Stock, how are you? The only man who letters indie comics by the looks of it. So what's happening with you?
That's bollocks. There are lots of letterers and they're all lovely. I'm well.
And so what are you selling here today?
We are pushing the Kill Screen and Samurai Slasher, and Dead Roots is back for the first time in ages. I haven't sold that in a while. I even forgot the price a minute ago when someone bought it.
There's a handy little price flash here, so that's good. Dead Roots, £10, everyone. £10. Is it not? Oh no, it's £15. £15. Oh, it's the little Samurai Slasher that's £10, sorry. Dead Roots, everyone. £15. There we go. So tell me about Dead Roots.
Dead Roots was a massive 200 plus page zombie shared world anthology. It took about 5 years to make in the end. How long? 2009, I want to say, Mike approached me for a logo. I wasn't even doing comics at the time. I knew him from school and made him a logo for it. And then over the years, it has snowballed into what you see before you, which is really easy to describe over audio. It's pretty. It's a really hefty tome. We did a hardback version as well, which we haven't got any left of. They're a really limited print run, but they were like hardback, leather-bound, foil embossed.
I've seen them. They're pretty beautiful. Very simplistic cover as well, but really works really well.
Striking. And it also justifies my job to my mum that I've got a leather-bound book with my name inside it. I feel that gives me some weight when it comes to why I don't have a real job.
And so what have you got coming up next? What are you working on?
I've just finished loads. I did a hectic couple of weeks finishing the Pride for your chums.
Issue 6 is out now in the final issue of the volume.
And the Pride Adventures 3, which was delayed somewhat, but miraculously I still arrived at the table and quite chuffed with that. I've taken a couple of days off. I've been doing some Sergeant Steel with Mikey and Andy.
That's the weekly webcomic that they release, isn't it?
Weekly is a loose term, yeah. I mean, Mike's doing the Kickstarter for the collected edition of the Kill Screen at the moment, which you should all check out. It's the Kill Screen. There's another one called Kill Screen, awkwardly. But that's going really well. But as a result, Mike's been sidetracked, pushing that constantly. And so we had a couple of pages that have just been thrown at me, which I don't know what the deal is with them, but they were definitely dated for significantly earlier than they were going to reach people's eyes. But that's fun. I really enjoyed doing that with Andy. He does amazing chins if you've not seen his work before.
Oh, I'm very aware of Andy's work. I'm going to drop down there and speak to him in a moment. And is there anything else? the perils of having a day job is that stuff has to get bumped sometimes.
Yes, quite. My day job, I changed to full-time as a graphic designer maybe, I want to say March this year. So it's been weird having, this is the first sort of, I've always done it part-time, like shared two worlds, and now I've got to like do this. I haven't, for instance, the last 2 weeks of October trying to do the Pride stuff nearly killed me a little bit. I haven't had to have that much work to do in such little time in a while. So hence taking a couple of days off, but there will be more down the pipeline, I'm sure. The kill screen is some point going to carry on. We've got extra stuff at the kill screen for the, what do you call it, Kickstarter. Stretch goals. Including one where I die, apparently. I don't know how I feel about lettering something where I die. Although I noticed a little Easter egg in the Sergeant Steel pages that Andy done. There's some gravestones, and my name features on one of them.
I'm going to go and ask him about it.
I haven't broached the subject with him yet, and I intend to have a sit down with him at some point and find out to what end I meet and how dastardly it is, but it'll be fun.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Andy Clift, tell me about your books.
Right, I do a comic called Bertie Bear, which is a monster hunting teddy bear in the vein of like Indiana Jones and old school pulp characters. Yeah, and it's just about this character that sort of is looking for this mythological weapon before an evil bunch of vampires do and end the world.
Sounds pretty basic.
Pretty much, yeah. I like to keep it simple.
And how's it going?
Yeah, it's going all right. I mean, it's a 4-issue miniseries, and I've finished it. It's all done. They're all out. So, it's going all right.
So what's next, then, if it's all out and all done?
Well, I'm working on a webcomic called Sergeant Steel, Allied Avenger, with...
I hear that's with Mike Harley.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Yeah, he's doing that. And, of course, lettered by the...
Mike Stock, who letters everything in Indie Comics.
Yeah, so there's that. And, I've maybe got another Bertie story down the line, but I'm also working on another couple of projects that aren't really far enough along to kind of talk about just yet, but...
Secret projects.
Yeah, so I've got a few things happening. But, yeah, that's it, really.
Well, thanks very much. See you later.
Right, I'm here with Andy Blore, who's got the table next to me at Thought Bubble. How's your day going, Andy?
It's not going too bad, actually. It's not doing too bad. A bit slow, but up and down, but it's okay.
Is that because of me? Have I ruined it for you?
I'll take the fifth on that one.
Is it what I'm like wearing, or should I say not wearing? He loves a bit of it, folks. Yeah. You're here with your book, Midnight Man. Yeah. You've got a sketchbook as well, but Midnight Man, give us the pitch.
Crazy, insane, time-travelling vigilante. That's it, really, isn't it, I think?
Need we say more?
No.
Yeah, that's all you need, isn't it?
It's been chased by a possessed horse within the second page, so that's all you need, isn't it?
You need to buy this book, people. He's being chased by a possessed horse. And he jumps through Big Ben, doesn't he? He smashes
out of Big Ben. That's the very first page, isn't it? So, kind of like starts the book off with a splash. I think Mo did a great job creating the storyline. I mean, I originally came up with the character and then I've sort of like pitched it to Mo, who's a fantastic artist.
That's Mo Alley.
Yeah, it's Mo Alley, yeah. He's a fantastic artist in his own right, and he's a brilliant writer, and he came up with this story that's just great. It's just...
It's quality. It's very reminiscent of like sort of... I feel like 2000 AD sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's got a lot of 2000 AD in it.
Wears its influences on its sleeve, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, with it being sort of a black and white comic, we grew up on black and white comics, and I did all the odd Eagles and all those kind of comics, so there's a lot of that in it. Yeah, I think it's very British as well, so it's very British. It's great.
And you've sold a few today, haven't you?
It's going okay. It's a bit slow to start off with, but I think with these kind of cons, really, it sort of starts off slow, but people come back and they actually do come back when they say they're coming back.
Yeah, sometimes people talk to me and then they just never return. Most like Andy.
Sorry, I was off for a minute there.
Check out Midnight Man, it's brilliant. Cheers, Andy.
Thanks. Cheers.
With Chris Sides from Redshift. No longer Redshift for a while, Chris, yeah?
Yes, mate. Yeah, we're starting a new venture called Close to Immortality. The plan is to launch at London Super Comic Con. There's six of us at the moment. So it's Phil Woodward from the original Close to Immortality, Michael Burgum, John Late from Level 8 Comics, us two, and Jay Martin, who's sort of done printer sort of printing and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, launching at London Super Comic Con. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
So what's the aim of it? What's the aim of the sort of the group here to do?
The idea is to get sort of cut table costs, basically, to try and have it in such a way that we're not paying through the roof for the sort of tables. We're getting our stuff out there. We're promoting each other, and yeah.
So will it be all under one banner? Will your books come out with one banner now? Or?
Well, yeah. The idea is to have so we have a couple of tables, and if we got stuff through our publishers, we can put that on the table. And we can sell everything through the brand. But if you want to self-publish, we can self-publish through the brand as well.
What, have you got any books that you're planning to launch at that?
Not at London Super Comic Con. We'll have Whispering Sands and Dark Matter and other stuff, but we've got a few things in the pipeline that we would like to put through the collective. Yeah, yeah.
Alright, mate, nice one. Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to pimp or that's coming out?
Just Whispering Sands. We're looking to go digital release on Monday after this, so everything's set up for that. So, but that's what we've got at the moment.
Who are you doing the digital release with, yourselves or?
Yeah, we're through Comixy. So the Comixy store is comixy.co.uk/redshiftpress, and then on Drive Through as well. So that's coming out on Drive Through on Monday. I've submitted it to Comixology, so we'll see what happens there. You know.
Got a couple of months probably. On
yeah, a couple of months. Yeah.
Nice one, mate. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, mate.
I'm here with Gavin Mitchell. Gavin made me drink a weird drink last night, and that might be the reason for my headache. What was that drink you made me drink?
Recorder League. It's some sort of fruity cider. It's delicious.
The sort of drink I drink, yeah. Fruity cider.
Very
lovely.
Easy to drink. Too easy.
Gavin, tell us about what you've got coming out. You've got a couple of new books coming out,
haven't
you?
Eventually. Yeah. The one that I'm working on at the moment is Trolltooth Wars, which was originally done by Steve Jackson, part of the Fighting Fantasy fame. I'm currently chiselling away at that. And then I've got my own webcomic that I'm also...
That hasn't launched yet, is it?
No, I want to... Because with webcomics, you release it like... Or I'm planning to, like, every Tuesday and Thursday. I want to get ahead of it so I'm not... like delayed, like I am with everything else.
So how in the bag are you for that then, and when can we see it?
Oh, thanks. I don't know. In the new year, I'm like maybe February. February. I'm planning.
What's that about, dude?
Well, for starters, it's called Out to Sea, and my elevator pitch for it would be Alice in Wonderland meets Dante's Inferno.
That's all you're gonna say, innit? I know that's it.
Yeah. I'll keep it in the dark a little bit. Okay.
Nice one, mate. Cheers. Are you gonna come on the show soon? I think you two are coming on soon, aren't you?
Yes. I think we're the next ones after. Yeah.
Oh, you're next week. Yeah. Okay.
I could tell you more about it then. I'll have a better pitch for you.
All right. Nice one. Thanks, mate.
Excellent. Thank you.
So there you have it, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed that batch of interviews, good, bad, and the ugly. Emily's obviously the good.
I'm the bad.
Oh.
Fuck you.
You bastard. You got there before me.
Yeah,
as you can see, we met some really lovely creators there. And there's lots of books you should check out. So, and we met lots of lovely people. So we might as well get to it. We've both got a bit of a list of shout-outs, actually. Yeah. It's probably quite... It's fortuitous that Dan isn't here, because he'd just have to listen to us just reel off names and then just think to himself, why am I listening to this when I could be in the gym?
Yeah, I could be pistol whipping someone on the train.
Yeah. In his mask.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, so we might as well... Let's give a few shout-outs to some people we met.
Do your list first.
Yeah, I might as well go first. Yeah,
okay.
We're going to run off a list of names. You know, if you're listening, you're probably going yay, and if we've missed anyone off, we love you. Just let us know.
We do really, because we wrote this in about the last 10 minutes. This list, and it's to be fair, a week ago that we were at the convention. So I do apologise if I missed anyone else off.
Yeah,
yeah,
but first off, Paul Moore, Dave Kennedy, Ant O'Donnell, and Dan Charnley. Four listeners of the show and all great artists in their own right came over to the table, had a great chat, picked up some books. They were awesome. Zach Simmons Hearn, we talked about Monstrosity, his okay. comic, which I loved. Yeah, so caught up with him. Lex McDonald, Dan mentioned the Fortress of Doom Kickstarter. Do you remember that?
Oh, one? Yeah. Did he, was he there? Was he?
He was there.
He emailed me as well. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was there and he popped up. We had a great chat. Mark and Matt of Hellbound Media, always nice catching up with them.
Yeah.
Adam James, Far From Faith, I mentioned their comic and he popped by and said thanks for mentioning us. So. Andy Clift, what a legend. Yeah.
Well, I think it's his birthday coming up in a couple of weeks because he's talking about everyone going to the comic mart. I saw him on Facebook today.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could.
That'd be a good little trip. Yeah. Oh. That'll clear them out if we all turn up.
All those sweaty men.
Yeah.
Apart from you, Andy, you're lovely.
Yeah, I'll get my Sliders trading cards.
Oh, pardon. anyway, back to the list. Lizzie and Connor Boyle from Disconnected Press. I love those guys. They're always good to catch up with them because I picked up Sentient Zombie Space Pigs 3 and 4.
Oh, yeah, you like that.
Yeah, which was awesome. Sarah Millman, our mate, Sarah Millman.
Yeah, she was a good laugh Saturday night, actually. She came to the pub, didn't she?
Yeah.
She was a good laugh, yeah.
Yeah,
she sat on the rude blokes table at one point, which I did actually think, oh, we need to tone this down a bit because Sarah's in here. But she was fully in the flow.
Was as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
What a legend. Dan Harris, Chris Carton, Jim Banfield, the Loose Scanning guys. Dan obviously was a guest recently, and they're just legends.
I do actually recall quite drunkenly Dan kissing you goodbye and you going, you've got quite soft lips. That was a bit weird.
I forgot about that.
It was like one of those sort of like The Office. It was slightly too long. I'd sort of looked at my watch and looked around a bit, and then you know, oh, they're finished now.
Well, I'm sure he enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's not made of stone, is he?
No, I'm a friend to everyone. Gav Mitchell.
Yep, good lad. Yeah.
PJ Montgomery.
Right.
Got to give a shout out to the Improper Books guys.
Oh, yeah.
A successful table they had. So, Laura Trinder, who, as soon as she saw me, said, shush, now, Vince. And she also, she signed that into my copy of Night Post. So, thank you very much. Ben Reed, first time I got to meet him. Great guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah.
Chris Wildgoose, we won't mention him because he's just not worth it. Sarah Duncan and Matt Gibbs. From Mulp. Great catching up with both of them. Matt Gibbs, also on the Sunday morning when I was feeling a little rough, he let me have a banana.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I needed it.
He looks like a bloke with a bunch of bananas under his table, ready to give out. That's nice.
It was the healthiest looking table you could possibly imagine because I went back to my table and it was just nothing but just sugar.
Flapjacks.
Yes. Skittles, M&M's.
Yeah. I have to say, if I was going to go for a table that were triumphant at Thought Bubble, I would go for that table. Improper Books guys. Yeah, I couldn't. Bear in mind, at least two or three of them are good mates of mine. I couldn't get to the table.
Yeah.
Every time I went to try and pick up a book that I'd left for them, you know. Yeah, good guys. I
had to catch them on Sunday because on Saturday when I. You know, when you get away from your table at Thought Bubble, every moment is precious because there's so much to see.
Yeah.
I wanted to pick up the new Porcelain and Night Post and Mulp. And every time, they were just so busy. And I managed to catch them early on the Sunday. So that was good. And I was so glad I managed to catch up with them because they're just a fantastic bunch of people.
Yeah, I had lunch with Chris on Sunday and a couple of the other guys. And the trade they were doing was unbelievable. I think he was up to about 2 a.m. sketching in books. Stuff like that in preparation for the Sunday. Yeah. You know, it's great to see because I've known Chris since before Porcelain 1 came out. You know, he gave me a little sort of Ashcan copy of it at the first Kapow.
Yeah.
And, so pleased for him. They're all, to a man and a woman, great talents, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Laura's book is just astoundingly good. Mulp's great. You know, they're all great books. Really are.
Yeah, fantastic. I also got a chance to catch up with Izzy and Mike, the organisers of Cardiff Expo, the relaunch Cardiff Expo.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that last week, didn't we?
Who are also going to be doing this year's Bristol, well, next year's Bristol show.
I'm hoping that's going to be good. I've got sort of fond memories of spending weekends at Bristol over the years.
They do this for the passion of it, you know, because doing these sort of things, organising these sort of things, I can't imagine how much hard work it is. And you know, when I was at the Cardiff one, everyone was so happy with, you know, just the atmosphere, and they just made sure everyone was happy. So, cracking catching up with them. Also, Martin Simmons, a guy on the rise. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, and a great company in the pub as well.
I had a fantastic chat about costumes in films.
Oh, no. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Judge Dredd and Superman, et cetera,
et cetera. Oh, yeah, I think I butted into that a couple of times.
You did.
Shouted at you and walked away.
You absolutely ruined it. No. No. Martin's a great guy and very affable. So if you... And you look at the work he's doing on Death Sentence at the moment, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. Obviously, there was a Mike Garlow.
I've not heard of him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got Starter. You said that to him as well.
I know. And he told me to fuck off. Mike Garlow, Josh Sherwell. Now, I'm pretty sure he was there.
Yeah, but... It was a bit of a drunken mess at some point over the weekend, wasn't it? We're not sure. It's possible that we spoke to you, but we may have been drunk. So we might not remember.
There was that Stocky, Mike Stock, who obviously you just heard in that interview as well. Some of these people I'm name-checking, you've already heard them talk just a minute ago.
Just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Caught up with MD Penman, Mark Penman of Imurian Tales. A cracking bloke. He made sure to come over early and gave me a copy of Imurian Tales.
He showed me that. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Gorgeous looking book as well. I highly recommend it to anyone. Mark Pierce of Ronin Dogs and James State of Big Jimmy. They're awesome. And they're, I've said to them that we're definitely going to have them on the show because they're real good lads. They are. I got a chance to talk to Adam Cadwell, who I mentioned on the last episode for Blood Blokes. Lovely bloke. Those layabouts in Madius Comics. Need we say more?
I think you just heard me telling them to fucking shut up or something. Right? I can't remember now what I said, but something rude, wasn't it?
Yeah. Legends one and all, but I just want to get it on the record now that Nick Gonzo seems to think that I am the one.
Who's that? Jay Gonzo?
He seems to think that I am the one that gets his name wrong every time.
Yeah.
When in fact, it's Tony Esmond
who gets... I admit nothing.
It's not the first time you said that.
No.
A couple more names. The boys from Doc Dino, and that's how I'm going to introduce them now. Tom Ward and Chris Welsh. They're also known for Merrick and Ward individually.
Yeah, good lads.
Always good catching up with them. Hugo Boylan and Kerry Smith, the fantastic art creators from Dublin. Great catching up with them. And it was the first time I ever got to meet John McCrae.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's good company, isn't he?
Yeah, at the end of Sunday, he came up to give a commission to Andy Bloor, and I basically stalled him until Andy got back to his table, and I had a fantastic chat with him about his new Image book.
I interviewed him last year at Nottingham, and afterwards we went for a coffee, and he told me a story, and it included the phrase, Kenny Baker's cock and balls.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that was part of the story he told me. I can't reveal any more, but he did, he's proper funny, yeah.
Yeah, good bloke. Yeah, so thank you very much for putting up with me, John. So, that's all I'd say. You're a lovely chap. So what about you, Tony? Who have you got?
I've got a few. Dave Houghton, who's a mate of mine. He's not been to a convention for a few years, actually, and he said, I've got a bit of time off work. He's a special effects supervisor on Doc 2, or has been for years. So he's sort of been busy with sort of TV and stuff like that, so he's not really made it. We're old pals. We used to go to UCAC and Bristol together and stuff like that, and he thought, I'll do a bit of Thought Bubble, and he really enjoyed it, I have to say. And we road tripped with Matt Harrower, he of the Sexy Costumes.
Yeah.
It was also a great company, apart from the little bit of snoring he did in the car on the way back home. And we recorded some audio in the car that you will never hear, because it's far too rude even for me.
He won't even send it to me, listeners. It's probably because he doesn't trust me. He probably thinks I'll put it in somewhere.
I was just saying, whenever I say things to you, I don't know we're recording. And if you go silent at the end, I wonder if it's going to be the bit at the end of the episode.
You never know. Yeah, stay tuned for after the credits, folks.
Dobes. Now, God bless him, I love Dobes, but he does frighten me a little bit. He did discover over the weekend that he has a mutant ability to make people poo their pants.
Yes.
Just by making eye contact with them, which I did wonder how that goes sexually, but he wouldn't explain it to me.
Well, the lights are never on. So
that's true. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the sex, lights out, under the covers, on your own. Always the best way.
It's safer for everyone.
Yeah. And that caused much hilarity. I think Andy Bloor immediately put it out on Twitter as soon as he heard it.
Yes. Yeah, Andy Bloor, who had the table next to me, God bless him, he was a great bloke all weekend.
Oh, I mean, great company. Ideal to have next to you two, Lark, about people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want anyone with a sensitive nature next door to you, do you? Let's face it.
That's true.
Yeah, he was good company when he had a great talent. I've just been speaking to him on Twitter literally 5 minutes ago. But Yeah, love his work. Absolutely love it. Yeah, and a great guy. Mark Lamming, Dave Stokes, my usual little crew of people that I go to Thought Bubble with. Both great talents to a man. Dave is is a great talent. He's, I think, minutes away from working full on for DC or Marvel. He's just, you know, I know a couple of things that, you know, he's sort of had a little go at, and he's this beautiful work. And the same with Lamming. Lamming's a great talent. You know what I mean? Don't tell him I said anything.
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this one.
Nah, yeah, he's not in it. No, he will, because all he'll do is get like piss taking remarks back. But yeah, no, he's good. Yeah. In fact, he sent me a copy of a comic of Demonic Toys today, didn't he? Which you told him to behave himself and stop.
Yeah, stop enabling him. Yeah, Mark, for God's sake.
Dean and Victoria Beattie. Dean does Random Trials, and Victoria is very supportive, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I love that comic, and that was selling gangbusters while we were there.
Yeah.
All of the Avery Hill crowd, just love their work, love it. I'm sadly missed Dave White. I met him in the cafe at the start, and then I kept missing him and tried to do an interview with him. But I think he'd love to come on the show, and he's a real sort of raconteur, Dave. Good company.
Yeah.
No Brow, I had a good chat with No Brow, and I met the people who sent me a couple of the books that we talked about on the show, so that was nice. Mike Medaglia, who we did an interview, you probably just heard it, who Emily immediately fell in love with because he's such a good guy. And he had a table next to Andy Poyagi, who, again, I only met in the cafe at the start of the convention. It's weird, isn't it?
I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah, I know. Then they avoid me. They see I'm there. But Andy's great, great, great company and a great talent. The Redshift, which is no more, I think. Redshift Press, Chris Sides and Chris Travell, who is almost neighbours of mine. They got to put up with the shrieking from my house. But, so great to see Shifting Sands doing well. Yeah. Which is a great book. Warwick Fraser Coombe, who wasn't quite as scary as I thought he would be in real life.
No.
After reading Revenge of his comic, we reviewed it a couple of weeks ago. Really love that book. Absolutely love it.
And when we discovered the size at which he does his artwork.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it was mind-boggling.
Each piece of art is like 4 gig or something.
Yeah. Because he had a huge portfolio at his table. Beautiful work. Absolutely beautiful work.
But then Yeah. And he did actually, he said, look, thanks a lot for the support. He's had a few people come over and buy the book because of listening to the podcast and the reading the stuff I put on the site.
Yeah.
And YouTube. So that's really gratifying. And that's why we're here, after all, let's face it.
Yeah.
Liam Moore, who you just heard Vince getting the name wrong a couple of times.
No, I'll cut that out. Oh, shit, now everyone knows.
You ain't. Yeah.
Yeah.
John Scrivens, you're a terror, my friend, but I love you. And that was you were a good company in the pub. Brett Uren, who's also we just did a little interview with. Tilly Walden, who put up with me making Blades of Glory references during our interview. So that was quite nice. Sally Jane Thompson, who I only saw for breakfast. There is definitely a theme here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw her on the Sunday morning for a bit of breakfast. And I loved, if you haven't checked out Sally's work, look her up on Twitter, Sally Jane Thompson. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful. If you're ever having a bad day, look at her artwork because it is just delightful. Yeah. I bought a print at Nottingham from her, and I can't say too much about her, how good she is, you know. Mm-hmm. Duncan Fagredo, who put up with me standing by his table and insisting that he draw a speedcock on all the and all the commissions he seemed to put up with me about. He was gangbusters all weekend. And Simon Davis, who's the final one I wanted to say, because I bought a page from him very cheaply. I showed it to you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful paid work. You know, he's doing Slain at the moment. He's just on the third book, which he's working on at the moment for 2000 AD with Pat Mills. And it's probably one of my favourite 2000 AD stories ever. It's just incredible stuff.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, love it. And to buy a page of it, for in the world of original art, not expensive in any stretch, you know, was just great, great thing. And I've got it on the wall here now. So, yeah, that's me showing off about original art again. There, you can draw me another penis. Send it to me.
Oh, yeah, where's my pad? the camera will have to do.
You sent me a camera. I forgot about that fucking camel you sent me. Right. it was a great weekend, I have to say. My liver is just about recovered now.
That was because you overdid it on the Friday.
I know.
Who has a curry at midnight?
It was 1 a.m. we had a curry. Because we got there late, and then we thought, I don't want to miss any of the, you know, drinking. So we sort of legged it to the pub and then didn't eat because we were starving until like 1 a.m. and then got up again at 6 after listening to my roommate snore and me trying to record him on that digital recorder I've got. And every time I got near to him, he'd go, nom, nom, you know, and stop snoring. Oh, fucking, like crawling across the floor, you know, like in Wayne's World. Yeah, but it's a good weekend, I have to say. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a cracking weekend.
You had fun, or you went back Sunday, didn't you?
Yes, I did go. Yeah, my journey back on the Sunday was a long journey. But yeah, it was good. I mean, the thing about thought bubble, after 2 days of that, it's not that hard to have a conversation on the journey back because you've got so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And you're feeling like really jazzed about like comics and just, I don't know. It was just wonderful for 2 days to be around that sort of community of people that were all just fantastic. I just wish I had, it's one of those things, I had a table and I loved having a table there. But at the same time, I wish, because I know more of these people now, I wish I could spend more time with these people. So
yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, I've got kind of a good deal, haven't I? Because I've got mates who've got tables, so I can leave my bag there. They just sort of work
it
out.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not a bad way to be. Mind you, we've got a table at London, haven't we? So we will invite people over and do interviews at that. So
yes, yes.
And the guns shall be there.
Yes, he will be there. So in the future, folks, we are going to have Guns McVanguard with us.
Yeah.
So no one to talk to us then, Tony.
I know, yeah. This would be swooning.
Yeah, he is the poster boy, isn't he? It's a wanted poster, but he's still a poster boy. We're only joking, Dan. We missed you. We love you, and we'll tell you all more about what we've got planned for next year in terms of conventions with the awesome pod.
We got a couple of
big plans for next year for crazy ideas. So won't say too much just in case they don't actually happen. Because you know what the comics industry is like. You hear about a plan, and then like 6 months later, you think, well, is that not happening?
Kevin Smith's bullseye.
Let it go, Tony. Let it go. Just read those bloody Demonic Toys comics and just be quiet.
I wish I ordered them off eBay.
Oh, dear. Anyway, folks, we hope you've enjoyed this episode. Obviously, it was a clip show. It was our first like proper clip show.
It's like that one at the end of the first season of Next Generation, wasn't it? I thought, what the fuck's this? Maybe you had 24 episodes or something.
Yeah. You say only. That's quite a lot.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
And anyway, me and Tony are going to ramble on all night, surely, after this. But stay tuned because we'll be back to our regular format on the next episode 22.
It will be,
where we will have two guests.
I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
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 Do we announce it now?
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, do you want to do that?
Yeah, why not? You actually heard them in this show. One of them is the new Awesome Pod sister. Emily Owen and her partner in crime, as well as her partner in life, Gavin Mitchell. So they're both equally as childish as us. So the next show is probably going to be quite riotous. So.
Yeah. Emily called me a twat face on Twitter the other day.
All she ever does is just call you names.
I know she does. Yeah, I quite like it, really, to be fair. I don't mind being abused. Well, that's why we're on this show, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah. What, to be abused?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we do. We open ourselves up for it, don't we? Anyway, folks, look forward to the new show. There's plenty more to come from us over the next few. We've got some exciting guests over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, stay awesome, stay fruity. What are you going to do? And from Dan,
hello.
Does that sound like him? Is that right?
That did sound like him, yeah.
Oh, thanks. Tony, say goodbye, Tony.
Bye, Tony.
And myself. Have a good week and stay awesome. See ya.
I went and saw a band called Your Mother Goes to College once. They were shit. And I bought their CD, and it makes me feel guilty every time I look at it that they conned me into buying their CD.
Oh, there's the outtake.